24, CWD Surveillance and Public Outreach. Chad, are you with us? Good morning, Chad. Morning, Chad. You may be on mute. Still on mute.
Morning. Commission, this is Steve Griffin out in Rapid City. Good evening. I'm going to get started here, I guess, since Chad's having a little bit of issues, if that's all right with you. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead, Steve.
So, Rachel, do you have the, or Chris, do you have the presentation for us? Or I'm not sure how we were going to do that.
Steve, you've also been made a co-host, so if you'd like to share your screen, you have that ability as well.
Okay, got to get it up here. Do you see the presentation at all? You can see it.
Yeah, you can see it. Can you make it full screen, and then we'll be good to go, I think.
Yep, I'm going to go from the beginning here. How's that? Okay, so, sorry, I was expecting Chad to introduce here. So, good morning, Commission, Chairman Olson, members of the Commission, and Secretary Roebling. Chad and I are going to tag team on this. I hope he gets on. Talking about chronic wasting disease in South Dakota. We're pretty much going to go with what we did last year, present what we accomplished last year with CWD in the state. First of all, I wanted to talk a little bit about our CWD action plan, which is basically gives us guidance for management and or and public participation in our CWD action that we're doing in the state. The first thing is basically we're trying to determine presence absence of CWD. That's through our surveillance moving across the state to determine where the disease is. The next thing is we're wanting to reduce the spread of CWD across the state, and we're trying to accomplish that through our regulations, carcass transportation proposals, and rules that we're implementing. And the most important thing, too, is to have an important informed public that understands, supports, and participates with our CWD management practices so we have a viable elk and deer population for many generations to come. So I'm going to step into what we're doing as an agency. Last year, we created high surveillance areas, as you can see on this map. I think I'm on the CWD surveillance map. Is that correct? The shaded, gray shaded areas were our high surveillance areas in 2020. And the way we created those was we plotted all of our positives on a map, put a 25-mile buffer around them, and any county or unit that was included in that buffer was our high surveillance areas. And as you can see, it basically followed the river down along all the way from Perkins County down to Charles Mick and Gregory County. Our stations, basically the methods, we use regional offices, designated collection stations throughout the area, taxidermists, city deer removals were part of it, and then our voluntary hunter sampling. And that included dropping off heads at regional offices and or self-sampling. So our seed-ready collection sites across the state, as you can see on this map, there's 31 sites that we utilize across the state, overlaid on our high surveillance units. And for the most part, our 31 areas included all regional and field stations, game and fish offices. We also included high traffic areas through major towns, gas stations, DOT stations, a couple hotels, et cetera, whatever we could find that we could have a station for hunters to drop off heads. This would be an example of a CWD station that we utilize. We basically put two barrels out there, a sign that shows instructions, supplies for a hunter to drop off. We would collect those every 2 to 3 days, depending on weather conditions and date of season. Obviously, a weekend, opening weekend would be more busy. We would make sure we checked it. And I just wanted to mention that the majority of our sampling in South Dakota occurs during the East River and or West River rifle season. That's where we can get the most bang for our buck. So most deer are harvested, but any hunter at any time from the September 1 youth seasons all the way through the end of January can contact a game and fish agency, game and fish office, and we will work with them to get a sample if they are so choosing. It's another method we created for hunters to get samples in. It's basically a self-sampling kit that we put together. They're located at regional offices, and or we give them to our conservation officers, so they're out there in the field. If a hunter wants to pull a sample on their own and send it in at their leisure, this works. It's also on our website. At least the form is on our website here, so hunters can go and print that off and follow instructions on how to submit a sample to the lab on their own. So let's step into some samples that we got in 2020. Total sample collection was 1,746 to April. This is a fiscal year, so it starts July 1. And as you pretty well know, most of the samples come during the hunting season. White-tailed deer by far outweigh most species. We have 1,323 samples with 38 positives. We did not collect any moose last year. Mule deer were 314 with 9 positives, and elk were 109 samples with 9 positives also. Samples by source, our hunter harvest and our tribal samples by far outweigh all the other samples. We had almost 1,400 samples, but it also is the majority of our positives with 34. We had city deer removals. Most of that occurred this year out in Rapid City and Custer, and we had 6 positives there. Vehicle kills, very low. We've tried vehicle kill contractors in the past. It's very difficult to get folks to sign up to do that. Most of these vehicle kills were actually from hunters salvaging deer along the road and wanted them tested. 6 surveillance animals from across the state. Any animal that shows signs of CWD, we want to test, and we found 16 positives on the 86 samples. Ellsworth collected 26 animals removing from the Ellsworth Air Force Base, and we had 18 depredation animals that we tested. Methods. As you can imagine, most of our GF&T offices are where we collect most of the samples. We had collection stations. Those are the ones that are remote areas where hunters can drop the heads off. We collected 290 there. City deer removals, we had 220. Those basically are all delivered to a regional office also for us to pull samples on. Our taxidermists, we had 13 participating taxidermists across the state. We tried to set those up in areas where we had our high surveillance areas. So those 13 taxidermists collected 94 samples for us. some of those folks would turn them into a regional office and or send them to the lab directly. As I said earlier, we did not have any vehicle kill contractors this year. And our hunters self-sampling kits, we received 145 samples from. So that's becoming a more popular way as folks learn how to pull samples and where to send them. So I want to go through a few maps here. Hope this isn't too redundant, but it's just going to show where our samples are coming from in the state. The first map here is our elk for the last fiscal year to current, 2020. We had 109 samples. And as you can imagine, most of the samples are coming from the Black Hills area, with a few scattered East River, a couple scattered East River, and down here in Bennett County where we have a major season going on down there too. Now this next map is a statewide map for elk for the last 20 years. But this is a compilation of all of the samples that we've collected on elk over this time frame. And as you can imagine, the majority of them come from the Black Hills area where most of our elk are, with a scattering here and there out on the East River Plains. Same thing for mule deer for 2020. We had 314 samples collected, and pretty much anywhere West River, we had a few samples here and there, but you can see the lighter shading coloration in the middle. That's our high surveillance area. That's where we were asking hunters to actually submit samples. And then this is a statewide mule deer sampling for 20 years where we've got 6,700 samples. And again, the majority of all of this stuff is going to be down in the Southwest where we were sampling for many, many years. And then in the last couple of years, we've expanded out onto the prairie. So we're going to see increased sample sizes out here as we move forward. So this is just a representation of where we've been sampling. White-tailed deer in 2020, again, most of our samples are coming from our high surveillance areas, with the exception of the Black Hills, where a lot of hunters are still requesting samples to be for their deer to be tested for CWD. And we will do that for anyone that wants it. Over 20 years, we've basically collected about 16,000, a little over 16,000 whitetails, and you can see the distribution. Our samples West River are increasing as we expand our sampling out. You can see a couple over in the east, northeast, where we sampled many, many years ago just to determine if CWD was out there. But again, the majority of our sampling is down in the southwest part of the state. We'll move on real quickly here to our positives that we found last year within our last the last 8 months or 9 months. There are 56 total positives, and this map shows the distribution. I do want to bring your attention to the gray area down in the southwest. Those were our very first endemic areas that we found, and that's where we found most of our samples early and currently, where we're still finding our positives. When we expanded with our CWD action plan, when we expanded out onto the prairie to determine presence, absence of CWD, these pink areas in 2019 popped in. So we added 8 new counties to the endemic areas in South Dakota. And then this last year in 2020, we added these four salmon colored counties to our counties that have CWD. So currently we have 16 endemic counties within South Dakota. And last year, we found our first positive on the eastern side of the river in Sully County. And that was from a sick mule deer that one of our conservation officers found. So just another way to look at this map, over the last 20 years, we've collected 602 positive animals within South Dakota. This is a distribution of all the positives in all of the counties that we have them. 244 elk, 115 mule deer, and 243 white-tailed deer total. And again, you can see some of these counties only have one positive, like Corson and Harding. Jackson has it just on the border, but it does include that county as endemic. So one last slide before I think we're going to turn it over to Chad if he's back on. This is a known distribution of CWD within the country in Canada. And there are maps out there that show the movement across the state. But I wanted to point out in the center here, dark gray areas are where we found CWD in the United States prior to 2000, the year 2000. And since then, over the last 20 years, you can see the distribution of where the disease has gone. The gray shaded areas are counties with positive animals found in free ranging. The yellow dots are actually captive facilities that have been depopulated that have found a CWD positive animal within their facilities. And the red dots scattered out are actually captive facilities with current animals still in the facility that have found positive. And I do want to point out South Dakota is we do have one current facility down in Custer County that has, they just recently found a positive animal in there, and I believe there's six elk in that facility. And with that, I think, did Chad get back on?
Can you folks hear me now?
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. Sorry about that, about taking a 2-pound hammer to this new computer a couple times, but we got it figured out. Good morning, Chad Switzer, Wildlife Program Administrator. Thanks, Steve, for kind of kicking that off. Just want to, before we move on to these next slides, I wanted to kick this off by acknowledging multiple staff. I'll tell you, this is quite the team effort when it comes to doing everything we've done here the last couple of years, from our secretarial staff in various fields, field offices to conservation officers having those conversations with hunters and other members of the public, to all the biologists working on, you know, the collections of samples, and a lot of work with our communication staff. Those folks have really been a huge help to this. And obviously, like you've seen, our hunters are really participating well in these areas where we want to sample deer and elk, and you know, like Steve indicated, we're taking samples and testing deer and elk from any hunter that might want any critter harvested from anywhere in the state. And the taxidermists that participate with us, helping get samples from those older age males, that's a very critical component of that equation. They hold a lot of weight when it comes to the surveillance efforts. And last but not least would be the diagnostics lab at South Dakota State University. They really hit a home run this year in regards to the turnaround time on samples. I would hope that our hunters, for the most part, were very pleased with the turnaround time. We're talking a matter of days for a majority of those samples and getting results back to our hunters. And I know Steve and our GIS staff have worked on a tool to facilitate getting that information back to those hunters via emails, and then tying that information back to their hunter ID within our licensing system. And Steve Griffin here, Steve's been working on CWD for 20 plus years, and he's been a quarterback behind the scenes on all this throughout the years, and you're not going to find anyone more dedicated or detail oriented. And we need someone like Steve to help watch all of this. You take nearly 2,000 samples and tracking those from the location of kill or harvest through collecting the samples to the lab and getting that information back to those hunters. And Steve, I just want to thank you a lot for your work with everybody across the state at the department level. So moving on here on this slide here, just wanted to talk about some of the funding, the new funding that became available to us this year. So federal funding kind of waned away back in 2011 or 12, and we've been funding a lot of our surveillance with Pittman-Robertson, the federal aid dollars coming in. We were successful in obtaining a grant from USDA APHIS in the amount of just under $250,000 to help us with surveillance and public outreach efforts, and that was very helpful. That kind of took a little bit of strain off of some of those other PR dollars that we could spread across and facilitate on some other projects. So next slide, please. Just a reminder, working with Nick Harrington and our communication staff, our website is our kind of one-stop shop for information on CWD. This presentation that we're giving here today will be uploaded along with other reports giving folks an update on everything related to chronic wasting disease. So next slide. Just want to inform, I assume you as commissioners there, if you obtained a deer license last fall, you likely got one of these postcards. I think except for those that maybe picked up leftover licenses late in the season or unlimited licenses later on, every deer license holder within the state should have got one of these in their mailbox. And we just wanted to do everything we could to promote and inform hunters of the new regulations that went into effect last year and working with communication staff, getting this in the mailboxes and getting people to our website to learn more about the regulations and more about CWD. Next slide, please. You can go through all these bullets here, Steve or Chris, who's ever doing this, but I'm not going to go through all these. Again, this will be made available on our website, but just wanted to be transparent in a lot of the work we did behind the scenes to try to, you know, provide that information to our hunters, the taxidermists, the processors, everybody that's involved within this, you know, this war, if you want to call it, against chronic wasting disease. And lots of things going on there. Next slide. Go to the next slide, please. Some of the other things here, again, not going to go through all of them, but, you know, we try to have close coordination with South Dakota Department of Environment and Natural Resources with their waste management and the landfills. We want to make sure we provide timely and informative information to those permitted landfills, make sure there's not any issues or concerns or things we need to talk about when it comes to the disposing of these carcasses. As I mentioned earlier, we had numerous staff work with South Dakota Bureau of Information and Technology and in addition with the Diagnostics Lab over at SDSU on getting those test results reported back in a timely fashion to those hunters. And I think it worked very well and hoping more hunters will utilize that in the future. And if there's anything we need to improve upon that, we will certainly do that. We have numerous interactive maps available on our website there from, you know, permitted landfills to the current distribution of CWD, where those collection stations are that Steve talked about earlier, so hunters can plan in advance of their hunting trip so they know if they are successful in a harvest, where they can most efficiently and easily provide a sample. Did a podcast with Chris Hull on our podcast and Blast, talking about the regs and best management practices that can be incorporated by hunters and myself and other staff are on numerous regional and national work groups. Some of these meet monthly. In fact, a lot of them do. So there's a lot of work, a lot of coordination, if you want to call it that, amongst other states, federal agencies, some private consultants that are getting into the game here to kind of help facilitate the dialogue and just organizing and following all of the action and work that's being done on chronic wasting disease is really, really wrapping up, and that's great to see. Next slide. Just a list of timeline of some of the direct communication, working with our communication staff on starting back early in the fall and progressing through the season, reminders, informing hunters where information was located, updating the public on unfortunate findings of CWD in the new areas, things of that nature. Next slide, please. Just a screenshot here, working with Nick and Allie here and others in the office, communications, just one of the examples of the numerous, things that we promoted on social media and whatnot, and they've done a good job working with us and getting these posted in a timely fashion. Next slide. There's numerous videos out there on how to remove samples. Again, Steve has been doing this for a long time. He's darn good at what he does, and we've worked with Steve and I believe Chris Hull to help edit and get a fresh video with someone with the South Dakota Game Fish and Park shirt on in one of our labs. And Steve showed folks how to provide a sample here, and it was interesting. I don't know how many views there is now, but in a short month and a half time frame or 2 months, that video was observed or seen over 4,000 times. So, hunters were really taking advantage of that. I know I watched it a couple of times. I watched Steve remove a sample so I could make sure I was providing the right piece of tissue with a deer that I submitted, and I found it very useful. So, next slide. With some of the funding that we received from USDA through the grant, to help us maximize and touch upon as many users as we could, we worked with Lawrence and Schiller. They're a marketing and advertising agency out of Sioux Falls, and I believe we had already had a contract with them in regards to our AIS work, and we modified that contract. We met with them numerous times to try to develop the best game plan for chronic wasting disease here in the state and the tools we had available. And they were great, great folks to work with. You can see here on some of these figures here that we set goals with them. I'm not for sure how those goals were obtained or identified. I'm not a marketing expert. That's not my cup of tea. But based on the figure here and the feedback from their staff, they were very pleased. In fact, they were shocked by how well we outperformed what we had identified as goals. You can see as far as the number of impressions and interactions we had there with the public, we felt we got a very good bang for our dollar there working with that consultant on outreach. So next slide, please. Impressions by medium and interactions by medium here, so you can just kind of see we really kind of ramp things up kind of on the front end of the firearm elk season, and things kind of tailored off there towards the latter part of December. But you can just kind of see some of the peak, interactions there and displays and whatnot there on social media. Next slide, please. Not for sure what that top graph means. I'm not one of those people, but I thought the bottom figure was kind of interesting when you look at the number of people that were directed towards our website on CWD based on the work we did here with Lawrence and Schiller. It was kind of interesting to see how far and widespread those across the nation were able to capture and get their attention to CWD information on our website. I thought it was kind of interesting. So next slide, please. So next week we've got a meeting scheduled where some of us internally are going to get together. We're going to talk about, what worked well for us in 2020 last year, maybe what didn't, and what are some things we can improve upon. Do we have to make any adjustments to our regulations based on surveillance findings? And we as a department felt we definitely feel that is something we should try to work with the commission on, and therefore we do have a proposal out there with you as a commission body. We'll take final action on that in May with you, and we'll make sure to share all of the public comment that we received on those new proposed regulations. One of the big questions we have here in South Dakota, and the rest of the nation is not immune to this, when we talk about CWD with all the other work groups and other states and whatnot, is how do we measure success with not only the regulations that the various regulations that a lot of states have, but how do you measure the success of your public outreach efforts? It's something we're really challenged with and somewhat struggling with, but I think the dialogue we're having, hopefully we can find some good benchmarks or key measurements to try to ensure that we are kind of moving the needle when it comes to, informing folks of the potential risk of CWD and what they can do to minimize, the spread of that, and how how successful or compliant our users with our new regulations. And we've got some things we want to discuss with FARA in regards to human dimension needs. You know, what are some other things we need to learn from our hunters and other users in regards to CWD? So I guess with that, that's all Steve and I have here. Again, I apologize for the technical issues there at the beginning, but Steve and I would certainly take any questions right now.
Commissioner Beast, Steve, has there been any modeling done? It looks like south of Rapid City, down into Fall River, Custer, Pennington counties, that's where the highest rate of CWD is at. Has there been any modeling done to figure out how many animals are dying out of them areas, that are, you know, the unharvested animals, and how that's affecting the herds in that area, here and out?
Commissioner Beast, at the current time, we haven't done any modeling to go with what you're asking there. We've done a little bit in the past on our prevalence rate, but our sample sizes in those areas now currently, we're just not collecting enough samples down in that area. Our main focus right now is to move across the state and find presence absence across the state and try to stop the spread. So in short, no, we haven't really done a lot of modeling down there to determine if it's affecting our populations at all.
Okay, any other questions for Steve or Chad? All right, good presentation. Thank you. All right, next up we have Heather. Or is there more from the update on the Alabama?